Okay, as Michael mentioned, we start a new series today, and at the moment this series will be continuing for today only. So it's a 1 week series we're starting, but it's actually going to continue on when we get to the holidays again. So in between all major series, this is what we'll be focusing on. So it's like an introduction today, more as to what you can expect when we get to June, July, and then October again, etc., etc. So we're focusing on our struggles, and the year theme is growing, and how we can grow in our faith, how we can grow in our prayers, how we grow in our obedience to God. And in between, we are going to focus on how we actually grow through the struggles that we face. So that's what we'll be looking at today. So we'll be focusing on the struggles and how we grow through them. Next week we are going to start the next major series, which is growing through our prayers. So for 9 weeks we'll be focusing on prayers itself, the life of prayer, what needs to be in a prayer, and we'll be following the Lord's Prayer as well. So you might think that you know the Lord's Prayer well and you know everything about it. There might be a few surprises for you. It's actually a very deep prayer. And we're actually looking forward to growing through that ministry as well, or that focus. So growing through our struggles. You might also recall that I asked you to write down any struggles you want us to focus on the Connect cards. I don't want to say what the things are that you are struggling with. You might want to tell them to me so that we can focus on them and that they might be real in the lives of the people that are in this church. So once again, that's the encouragement. Use a Connect card and write any of the struggles you'd like us to just address on there. It might be things like, how do I grow through doubt? How do I grow when I'm grieving? How do I grow through conflict? How do I grow through the pressure that I'm facing at work or at home or anywhere else? Or how does one grow when you have depression and anxiety? Just things like that. So don't write those words down necessarily, but think about the things that you think we might have to focus on. What you will all agree with, I'm sure, is the fact that life is hard. That we all do face struggles and trials at some stage in our lives. And that is because we live in a world of sin, a world stained by sin. The world we live in, everything has been stained by sin, so at some stage in our lives we will face with the consequences of that. And indeed, as we will remember on Tuesday, war is part of that. War has been part of the history of our nations and of this world for many centuries, many years. And we will recall on Tuesday the impact that being part of war has on us as a nation and on we as people. It has an impact for generations afterwards. But it's more than that as well. I think the struggles we often face also touch our lives every single day. People face struggles like marriages breaking up. Half of the marriages end up in divorce. Or just struggling in marriage itself. Or perhaps it might be just growing old or dealing with issues of health. Or it might be work-related, that you lose your job and what do you do then? Or things just go wrong, or your friends disappoint you, friendships break up, relationships break up with family members. Or you yourself end up disappointing someone close to you. We're always facing, and so many times and often facing, things like this. One of the writers suggests that there are four principles that help us think about these sufferings, and they are, first of all, because we live in a fallen world, bad things happen to us all. Second principle, we have no control over many things that happen to us or those around us. The third principle is we have complete control over how we respond. And the fourth principle, our response to our trials largely determine our spiritual growth or lack thereof if we grow the wrong way. In another way, let me put it to you this way. There's a certain way of looking at this that we can relate to math. So maths, we do the sum. And we say, people often say, well, okay, I'm going through suffering, or trial, it's continuing on for a long time, and that equals God doesn't love me anymore, God's not with me anymore, I did something wrong to deserve what's happening. Many questions people face. James 1 actually says, this is the math you should be doing. I'm going through trials. It continues on for a long time. And that equals to God is at work in me. I'm actually supposed to grow. This is happening for my benefit. How do you understand that sum? It's not easy to do those kind of maths. It's hard to understand. But I think James 1 helps understand what God is saying to us. So I'm going to focus on basically verses 2, 3, and 4 only, but the whole passage relates to this. So how do we deal with these struggles in our lives? How do we actually grow through them? Well, it starts in verse 2 with a command, a calling that God places on us. It says in verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Isn't that the weirdest sentence or command that you read in the Bible? It's almost incomprehensible. Consider it pure joy. Be very happy when bad things happen to you. And you kind of go, no, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, it gets even worse if you think about the context of what it says. Let me relate, I'll tell you about that as well. So you might be thinking, well, if things aren't going too bad, and I need to just say, yeah, things aren't too bad, so I need to be joyful, that's easier. If things really are going bad, it's not that easy. The readers of this letter didn't have life easy at all. James, the brother of Jesus, writes this letter, and he's writing this letter to those, he's saying, who's been dispersed by the persecution. So these are people who are refugees. They have escaped persecution. They are fleeing for their lives. So you need to have the image that we often see on TV today of people like people fleeing out of Syria, for example. People who just fled for their lives, not even knowing where their family members are. They might be missing kids or a mum or a dad who might have been killed by the persecution. They only had what they had on their backs. They didn't have belongings. They might only have the clothes that they had on them when they escaped. They didn't have money. They didn't have any material things. They were truly suffering. And yet, James writes this letter to them, and it's a letter of comforting them, it's a letter of advising them about the practicalities of life. And in their circumstances, knowing that, because he says that in verse 1, he writes down in verse 2, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. How do you understand that? What a start is that to make? See, often when trials happen, we have no control over that. We don't know when they're going to happen. They happen in a moment when life turns upside down. You might be going along quite well in life, and then the very next moment, life isn't what you were envisioning. I'll mention a different example in this service that I did in the first service, and relating to my own life, this is what happened. So Karen and I have been married for about 2 years, and she fell pregnant, and 6 months into the pregnancy, things were going well. And we were starting to think about a name for this new child, starting to think about getting clothes ready and whatever. And so on the Tuesday, went to the doctor. She was feeling a bit fluish. Doctor said, no, things aren't looking too great. Need to come in every single day. Friday, admitted her to a hospital. Sunday morning, went in all dressed for church, and the doctor was there as well, and he said, no, we're not going to church today, we're going to the theater. And so on 28 weeks, I became a dad of a 750-gram daughter. And just the week before, we were looking ahead at another 3 months of planning. Life turns upside down in a moment. And going through that, you have no control over that. You can't turn that around. You just have to make sense of what you're going through and go through what you're going through. How do you then cope or deal with this sentence of consider it pure joy when you face these trials? And these trials might be anything. It might be many things for you. They're all different to us. Indeed, James says you face trials of many kinds. It could be so many different things. And they are trying, they are testing on us. But how do you respond to those in joy? Consider it pure joy. The NIV says, the older translation, the King James says, count it all joy. So what does that joy mean? So if you have a look at the Greek, you might think that that would give you an answer. Often it does. In this case, it doesn't. Joy means the joy that you're thinking of. Consider it joy. You need to be glad. It need to make you happy when these things happen. So that didn't help at all, understanding this text. So maybe if we look at different translations, that'll help. It doesn't. One English translation says, be very glad when you go through trials. Another one says, consider yourselves fortunate. And even then you think, wow, how do you do that? How do you find joy in this? Maybe it means, you know, the smiles we often have when inside life is still falling apart, but outside we do smile. You often see that at funerals when people are broken inside, but yet they smile and life is okay. That's not the joy. Surely that's not the joy that is mentioned here. In fact, James wants us all to find the joy that is not dependent on the circumstances we're facing. Remember we spoke about the peace that is like that as well, that Christ brings. It doesn't depend on what we're facing in life. It's there within you no matter the circumstances you face. And so this joy that James is speaking about is an eternal joy that we should have. A joy that transcends all understanding. A joy that carries you through these difficult circumstances. How do you find that? Why should you find that? I think James gives us the answer to this in the rest of these verses. So he continues to say this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So the first thing he says is, look, if you go through difficult times and sufferings, it helps you grow. And it helps you grow, first of all, in strengthening. It helps you grow in strength. Perseverance, he says. Now, the word perseverance made more sense in the Greek. I think it can be translated into endurance or steadfastness or patience. Now, we have a number of people in this service that are actually exercising at the moment and riding their bikes and walking to church every now and then. We have someone in the 6:30 service who's actually at the moment cycling across the width of the US, so only 5,700 kilometers. What a test that will be. But growing in strength means exercising and actually training to become stronger, to be able to do those kind of things. Exercising our bodies. Do we ever think about the struggles we face as something that God brings on our path to strengthen who we are? It's not to break us down or make us weaker, but it's actually there to help us be stronger. Sometimes when we go through these tests and trials and we come out the other side, we look back and we can see the spiritual muscles that we built going through this. But as we go through them, it's very hard to do this. But God intends for us to grow in strength, persevering, being able to persevere. In Hebrews 10 it says, you need to persevere so that when you have done that, the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. There's an end goal. If we keep on persevering, if we find the strength to go through these struggles, if we go stronger, it'll end in the victory crown that God promises. Growing in strength. There's also a second thing James says, and as he continues on, he focuses on that. He says, Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And then he says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Trials and tribulations and sufferings help us grow in our spiritual walk of life. We become spiritually mature as we face these difficult circumstances. That's never ending. I think when we started the year talking about growth, I just mentioned that briefly as well. If you have a look at many of the houses and you have a look at the doors of many or behind the walls of many, you'll see notches where we mark our kids as they grow up. And this is how big Leon was when he was 2, and this is how big he was when he was 10, and this is how wide he was when he was 25 or whatever. But we mark those things down, but it continues to change and grow as we grow up. And it's the same as we grow up in life as well, facing our difficulties and sufferings. We continue to grow. We never reach the point that is stated here. It says, it's works that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's a continuing process. Only when we get to heaven will we be able to say, I have reached the end, I have conquered, I have gained victory. Until that moment, it will be a growing process that we go through in life. And that's not easy. Growing up is not easy. If you have a look at any little one-year-old starting to walk, it's not easy. They fall over. They hurt their knees. They pick up bruises. They pick up cuts. Why? Because they're training themselves and growing up in being able to walk or read or whatever. And it's the same thing as we go through life as well. We go through sufferings, we go through trials, and they are not easy. And we do pick up bruises. But as we go through them, God makes us stronger. And our faith grows. And we know that we can trust and depend on Him more as well. And if I can choose, and I'm hoping you do the same, if you can choose between having a life with no suffering at all, but not having God in your life, or going through sufferings, but knowing that God is there for you, I would rather face anything life can throw at me. Because with God on my side, I'm able to and willing to see through anything. Will we understand the sufferings we face? Probably not. Not always. Sometimes we might think, well, this is why this happened, this is why that happened in my life. But sometimes in life, I might go through sufferings and struggles where I just say, I don't know why these things are happening to me. And it's not easy. But I know that God is not doing them to me to weaken me. He's not doing them to me to punish me. But these things are happening to me so that I can grow through them. Grow in strength, grow in faith. And how I respond to them is up to me. How you respond to your sufferings are up to you. Do you respond with joy or with bitterness? Trust or unbelief? With faith or with fear? With hope or with despair? Suffering and trials will happen. It's not in your control. But grow through them. And be joyful when they happen because God is working in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, it's never easy focusing on the things we suffer from. And going through this whole series will not be easy. And finding answers to all the questions we have will not be easy. In fact, it will be impossible. But as we look at the struggles we face, we just pray that we'll be able to grow through them. That you will help us as we struggle, or those around us struggle with certain issues, that we will use those opportunities to grow in strength, to trust in you more, to place our lives in your hands, and to know that you are there for us. Lord, we might not understand the purpose of these things, but we do know that you are a good God, you're a caring God, a compassionate God, and as any parent only wants the best for his or her kids, so Lord, you too only want the best for us. As small little kids fall and bump their knees and pick up scratches and bruises, Lord, we know that we will do the same in life. But I pray that you'll be there for us, holding our hand, giving us the strength we need. Father God, especially I pray that as we start a new series on prayer next week as well, that that will be the way that we reach out to you. As James says as well in this chapter, that as we seek wisdom, as we seek to understand why these things happen, we need to turn to you in prayer. So Lord, hear this prayer as well and be close to us as we open our hearts to you, not only today, but also in the series to come. I pray that you continue to be with us as we now worship you once again in song. Amen.